You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, today we're continuing the series that we've been in for the past few weeks called Pray First. This is our rallying cry for the beginning of this year for 2020. We want to, everybody say it with me, we want to pray first. We want to pray first. And here's the idea, here's the question we're asking you to consider. How would it change things if you learned to pray first? If you learned to pray first in everything you do, before you leave the house, if you prayed first. Before you walked into that business meeting or got on that conference call, pray first. Before your kids leave for school in the morning, bless them and pray first. Before you open your mouth, pray first. Before you post that comment on social media, we're going to pray first. Amen. Yes, some of you really need to pray first before you post that comment on social media. And so here's the big idea of this series. Prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. We want to make prayer our first response, not our last resort. Not some last ditch thing we do, but our first response. So many times we act first, we freak out first, we worry first, and we forget to pray first. Now, I know for many of us in this room, let's just acknowledge this, that prayer is difficult. Prayer is difficult for some of you, and I want to motivate you today because I don't want you just to start some spiritual discipline. I want this to be about life change for you. At the beginning of this year, I asked you a question, and I asked you the question, how many of you really want to grow this year? How many of you really want to grow spiritually, really want 2020 to be your best year yet, want to get closer to God? You want to grow as a person in every area, right? That was kind of what we set out with, this question. And I want to just encourage you, if you want to embrace that, if you want to grow this year, if you want to embrace everything God has for you, nothing will help you do that like embracing a habit of daily prayer. Embracing this habit and getting into this rhythm of daily prayer. Some of you, like you're going into this new year with some stress and you're carrying some things right now that you were never meant to carry on your own. And what's going to happen as you begin to develop a life of prayer, like you're getting some burdens are going to be lifted off of you. For some of you, you're facing some big decisions right now, right at the onset of this year. There's some critical decisions you have to make, and there's a sense like you don't want to make those decisions by yourself. And that's where prayer helps, because you're going to begin to have a sense of God's will for your life. Some of you, like, you need a breakthrough in your marriage. Like, you know who you are. I'm going to tell you, nothing will help you become a better husband or wife than developing a habit of daily prayer. I know for myself. Some of you want to parent better. Some of you want to have better relationships. You want to get along better with people. You want to be more successful in your career. Nothing will impact your life like a habit of daily prayer. And so here's the problem. I think we know this. We have this sense of this, right? We kind of have this idea like, yeah, I know I should pray more. But for many of us, prayer is difficult. You know, it's like, well, Pastor Jeremy, I it feels like a chore. I run out of things to say, and I really just don't enjoy it. And I know for many of us, we kind of grew up praying some childhood prayers, right? How many of you, like, you learned to pray grace at the dinner table? Or if you grew up Catholic, you had to pray some Hail Marys to do penance when you went to go see the priest. Yeah, I see some recovering Catholics putting their hands up, right? And some of you, it was bedtime prayers, right? Now I'll lay me down to sleep. Like, by the way, whoever came up with this prayer, right? I pray the Lord my soul to keep if I should die before I wake. What a peaceful prayer to pray over your children. You might die in your sleep tonight, so it'd probably be good for you to pray this prayer. Good night. Have a good night's rest, right? Who came up with this? And so I know for many of us, prayer is difficult. And as adults, we realize like there's more to prayer than just these kind of now I lay me down to sleep type prayers that we learned to pray as a kid. And how do I pray, Pastor Jeremy? Like I'd like to get more effective at this. How do I pray? And so I want to help you with that today. I want to tackle this question of how do we pray more effectively? And in fact, that's what the disciples wanted to know. They came to Jesus and asked him, how do we pray more effectively? Let's look at this in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. It says, one day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. So Jesus' disciples had been watching him. They had seen Jesus pray. They had seen that he had a daily habit of prayer. They also understood that Jesus' prayer life was effective, like he was getting answers from heaven, like God the Father was moving when Jesus prayed. And so they said, hey, John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray. Teach us to pray. And so Jesus responded. We're going to look at his response. response in Matthew's version, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. And he says this, "This then is how you should pray." And you can read this out loud with me. It's the Lord's Prayer. Let's read it together. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So Jesus responds with the Lord's Prayer. But here's the thing. Many of us grew up and you learn the Lord's Prayer, and you can pray it from like rote memory in your sleep. But that really isn't the point. Jesus didn't just give us this prayer, you know, just to pray from memory. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with crafted prayers and even using scripture as a basis for prayer. I believe in that. But Jesus was really giving his disciples a pattern for prayer. Remember, the backdrop was that they were asking Jesus, "Teach us to pray." And so Jesus was giving them a pattern, a model, a guide, some principles to prayer. And so here's what I want to do today. I want to teach you a pattern that you can pray based on the Lord's Prayer. In fact, this is in your prayer guides. Many of you got the printed version of the prayer guide, or you're going to go to the website and download that from the website. And one of the first modeled prayers at the very beginning of the book is this pattern I'm going to teach you today based on the Lord's Prayer. So you can put this into practice this week. This is going to be very practical. What you're going to learn today, you can begin to practice this week in prayer. And so today, for the sake of time, we're going to cover the first part, okay? The first few things, and then we're going to finish this out next week, but you're going to have some things to bring into your prayer life this week. And I want you just to have this mindset right now. I'm going to challenge you by the end of this message to begin to put this into practice on a daily basis and see how it impacts your life. Just see the difference that it makes in your life. And so we're going to teach through the Lord's Prayer today and look at these principles. So here's the first part. Jesus taught them to pray. Read this out loud with me. "Our Father in heaven." Come on, let's get a little crowd participation. Let's say that again. "Our Father in heaven." Here's the first idea. Number one, put this in your notes. Connect with God relationally. It's a really great opportunity to take some notes, take out the Redemption app. Number one, connect with God relationally. See, Jesus wanted the disciples to understand that they were praying to a heavenly Father. They weren't just praying to anybody, but a heavenly Father. This was revolutionary for its time because, you know, the Jewish people, you know, they knew that God was all-powerful and all-knowing, and you went to the temple to worship him. There was certainly a fear of God, but Jesus does something revolutionary. He reveals God to the people as a loving heavenly Father. We said in week one that your view of God will determine your relationship with God. And many of you have a certain mindset, a certain perspective when you think about God based on how you were raised, your mindset in church. And unfortunately, some of you grew up in a church culture where like everything was obligation and it felt like you served God, you know, because you were obligated to, and everything was fear and condemnation and judgment. And it's kind of, you know, colored the way you see God. But we need to get a proper perspective of God, because how you see him will determine how you relate to him. Here's what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 8:15. He said, "So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you have received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father." That's from the Aramaic. It's like dada, like daddy, father, that close to him. Like God wants to have an intimate relationship with you. And he's revealed himself through his son as a loving heavenly Father. Now, as parents, I know some of you are parents in the room, you relate to this. Like, we love when our kids come to us and they just want to connect with us relationally, right? Right? Like, so many times our kids come to us and we know they want something. And sometimes they're trying to butter us up. Like, "Dad, when's the last time I told you I loved you?" You're like, "Okay, what do you want?" Right? Like, where's this going? How much money does this involve? Right? We all know this. And if you're not a parent, you did this as a child, right? But we love those moments when our kids just come to us and just say, you know, "Mom or Dad, I love you," right? Or they just want to snuggle up close to you and they just want to connect with you relationally. And I want to just tell you this morning that God wants to connect with you relationally. Prayer is connecting with God relationally. And so when you go into prayer, you have to have that perspective. Before you just begin to bombard God with your wish list, recognize who he is. You know, sometimes we kind of treat God like a genie in the bottle. I'm going to rub the lamp and ask for three wishes. but recognize you're going to him as a loving heavenly father. Go with gratitude. One of the first things I do when I begin to pray is I just begin to thank God. Thank God for who he is. God, I thank you that you're my father. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your love, for your mercy. I begin to thank him for the things he's given me. God, thank you that I slept in a warm bed last night, that you put a roof over my head, that I have everything I need today. Thank you for my family, for my friends, for my church family. I just begin to thank him because I know that he is a loving heavenly father. And so recognize who he is. Begin to connect with God relationally in your prayer life. Don't rush too fast. Stop and pray, my Father, which art in heaven, I thank you that you are a loving and gracious heavenly father. And just meditate on that for a moment. We have to recognize that. Here's the second thing. Jesus taught us to pray, hallowed be your name. Come on, pray that with me this morning. Hallowed be your name. This is point number two. We're going to worship his name. We're gonna open with worship. We're recognizing who God is, and that naturally flows into worship. Worshiping his name. Hallowed be your name. Kind of old school, kind of King James language. What does that mean, this whole hallowed thing? Well, it essentially means holy. When you pray, hallowed be your name, you're saying, God, your name is holy. It's sacred. Your name is holy and sacred. And that matters because when we talk about someone, we're referring to someone's character. Right? When you think about someone's name and you think about a name and a face, you begin to think about that person's personality and their character traits and who they are. When I say someone's name, immediately you begin to associate their character with that name. And this was certainly true in an ancient context when you talked about God, his name. In fact, God has all kinds of different names in the Old Testament associated with his character, right? God who's like a healer and God who's a savior and God who's a mighty warrior. They're all of these different names. And so we know that God is holy, that he's good, that he's all-powerful, that he's all-knowing, that he's eternal, that he's unchanging, right? That he's full of love and mercy. So when we begin to worship, we begin to recognize the character and the authority of God. See, when you begin to pray and you open with gratitude and worship, whatever's happening in your world, it comes into proper perspective. When we get our eyes on God and who he is, what's happening in your life begins to come into its proper perspective, because sometimes we have what I would call microscopic vision. It's like we're looking through a microscope, right? Now, microscopes are amazing. They're powerful. We have microscopes now that are so powerful that it allows people to peer into the nucleus of a human cell. It's amazing. We can peer into things that are invisible to the naked eye, and they're magnified, right? They're made larger so that we can see minute, tiny things that are naked to the human eye. And what happens is sometimes in life we get microscopic vision because our eyes get so focused on our problems and we begin to magnify them and they begin to consume us and they begin to become so big to us. If I were to ask you today, hey, what are some of the problems in your life? I'm sure you wouldn't have any problem just listing off four or five things. Well, I got this going on, this is happening at work or home, right? Now I could keep going. You want me to list a few more? Like, it would be easy for you because we're all well aware of our problems, right? And it's almost like we begin to look through a microscope and our problems begin to get so big that they overwhelm us. But let me tell you what happens is when you begin to pray and you add worship to your prayer, it's like you shift from looking through a microscope to looking through a telescope. Come on, we want to go from the microscopic to the telescopic. What happens when you look through a telescope? You begin to see the grandeurs of heaven, right? A few years ago, when my oldest son Aaron was just a little one, we bought him a telescope, and I think I got more into the telescope than he did. And we started setting it up in the backyard, and I would look at the stars and the moon and Saturn and Jupiter and just see the vastness of the universe. I really want to go out sometime. I want to get out in the middle of the desert somewhere, and I really want to see the Milky Way. I've never seen that before with my own eyes. I want to see that. But you know what happens is when you look through a telescope, you begin to realize how big God is. Right? You begin to see the vastness of the heavens, of the universe, and you recognize just how small you are and how small your problems are. Come on, here's what happens in worship. When you add worship to your prayer, you begin to say, I am so small and my problems are so small compared to my big God. Nothing is too difficult for him. God, you're great. There's nothing that overwhelms you. You begin to pray and your problems get smaller and your God gets bigger. That's what happens in worship. As you begin to just recognize who he is. My Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You're all powerful. You're all knowing. Nothing is too difficult for you. You're able to work all things together for good. You're the God who's able to do immeasurably more than all I could ask or imagine. Nothing catches you by surprise because it's hard to surprise an omniscient, all-knowing God. Can I get an amen, somebody? Let me just tell you why this is so important. Let me tell you why this is so important. Because if you don't begin to incorporate worship and focusing on who God is into your prayer life, what happens is you'll just worry out loud to God. You'll go into your prayer life and you'll just go straight to the needs and you'll just kind of, you know, bleed out all over to God. And many of you have experienced this. You've gone into a time of prayer and you've gone through all your needs and you came out of prayer and you didn't have any more peace than when you began. Because all you did was magnify the problems. And so let me just tell you, that's always going to be there, that tension when you begin to pray. Because many times we're praying in response to something that's weighing on our hearts. And you'll begin to feel that tension. Can I just encourage you, incorporate what Jesus is teaching us here. Just begin to worship at the beginning. Before you even get into the needs, begin to thank God for what he's already done. Begin to remember his faithfulness. Begin to worship him for who he is. Come on, get your eyes on him. Let God get bigger. Let your problems get smaller. Bring things into perspective. And you will begin to experience the presence of God in your life. It'll change everything. Come on, some of you came to church this morning just to get that point alone. It's going to change your life. So that's what happens when we begin to worship. We begin to worship his name. Here's the third thing. Here's the third thing Jesus taught us to pray that we're going to cover today. You can pray this out loud with me. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Come on, let's pray that one more time like we have a little caffeine in our system this morning. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Here's the third thing. We want to pray his agenda first. We want to pray God's agenda first. Put that in your notes. God, your agenda, your kingdom, your will. See, when we pray for God's kingdom to come, here's what we're doing. We're inviting and we're asking and we're coming into agreement with him that his rule and his reign would come into our lives and our world. God, I want your rule and your reign. This is foreign to us as modern day people living in a democracy, but you know, for Jesus' time, they would have been very much in touch with this. They were living during the time of the Roman rule. They had Caesar, they had local kings administering the rule of the reign of Rome. So they understood this, right? They understood this. And this is what happens when we begin to pray for God's kingdom to come. Essentially, what we're saying is, God, bring your perfect rule and reign from heaven down to this earth. Bring your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. God, we know that in heaven, things are perfect. God, here on earth, things aren't as they should be. There's sickness, there's lack, there's poverty, there's strife, there's relational brokenness, God, there's disease, there's people doing terrible things to each other. But we know that, God, in heaven, things are perfect. God, we know that in heaven, there's wholeness, there's the shalom, the peace of God, the perfection, the wholeness of God. And God, we're inviting the rule of heaven to come to this earth. God, that your kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. And then we pray, your will be done. God, your will be done. God, your agenda first, right? Not my will, but your will be done. When we begin to pray that, we are agreeing with God's will to be done in every area of our lives. This is so important. This is so important because many times we kind of force our will onto God in prayer. Now, don't get me wrong. I do believe that God sees the desires of your heart. I love the scripture that says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. But what's amazing there's a little relationship there. As you begin to delight yourself in the Lord, he changes the desires of your heart. And so that your will becomes in synergy with his will and what he would have for you. And so we know that God's will is perfect. How many of you know God's will is perfect? It's good. He loves you. He's for you. And so when we begin to pray for his will, we acknowledge his wisdom and his sovereignty. We acknowledge that God knows better than us. Come on, how many of you have discovered that God knows better than you, but you got to be reminded of that every now and then? We know it up here, but we forget it. And so when you begin to pray that, just make it really applicable. Make it practical. God, I'm asking for your will to come into my life. God, I'm asking for your will in my decisions today. I want your will in my home. If you're married, I want your will in my marriage. If you're a parent, I want your will in my parenting. In every sphere of my life, God, I'm asking for your will. God, I want you right smack in the middle of my decisions. God, I'm praying your agenda first. God, I want your will more than I want my will. And if I come across some area of my life today where my will doesn't line up with your will, I'm choosing your will over mine because I want your will first, right? Your will be done in my life. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, praying is about agreeing with God about what he's already said. Let me just let that sink in this morning, because many times we think about prayer, you know, we tend to think of it as like we're twisting God's arm to get him to do something that he really doesn't want to do. If you're just honest, we kind of pray that way. Like, God, I don't see you doing everything that I want you to do on my timing, so I'm going to, you know, kind of petition you and twist your arm. Really, I want you to reframe the way you think about prayer. Prayer, in its heart, in its essence, is coming into agreement with what God has already spoken, his will for our world all around us. And so we know that the will of God is found in the word of God. And so this is why it's so powerful when you pray according to a model of prayer that's based in scripture. And I really want to encourage you to do that. The more you learn scripture, the more you meditate on God's word, then incorporate that into your prayers. And that's where that prayer guide is going to be so good for you. This all kind of prayers based in the Psalms. And so what happens is you begin to come into agreement with the word of God. This is going to change the effectiveness of your prayers. You're going to begin to pray more according to what God's heart and his will is. So maybe in life right now, you're struggling with some area of your life where you really need freedom. You know, there's been bondage in a mindset or a certain controlling substance or addictive habit in your life. And you begin to pray in line with the word of God. I know that where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And you declare that over your life. Come on. You begin to pray that over your life. You begin to pray. If some of you are struggling with fear, right? And you begin to quote the word of God. I thank you that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God, you are with me. I thank you that you haven't given me the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power and of peace and of a sound mind. You got to learn to pray the word of God into your prayer. Some of you, it's healing. You need healing in your body. Somebody you love is sick, right? And you just begin to pray the words from scripture. Like, Jesus, I know that you were wounded for my transgressions, right? You were bruised for my iniquities. The punishment of the people was upon you, and by your stripes, I'm healed. Jesus, you are the great physician. And you begin to pray the word of God. Some of you, it's protection. God, I thank you that no matter what I face today, no matter who comes at me, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Some of you, it's provision. Like, there's a financial lack, a financial need. You're going through something. You just begin to pray, my God shall supply all my needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Are you getting it this morning, church? You got to get the word of God into your prayers, and your prayers begin to come into alignment with the will of God. And let me just tell you, as you begin to put his agenda first, just be ready for this. Oftentimes, he's going to bring somebody into your life who needs you. Oftentimes, he's going to take your prayers and he's going to set your focus on someone else around you, because God's heart, he came for the lost, for the broken, for the downtrodden, for the marginalized. He came for these little ones that we have an opportunity to support today. So just don't be surprised if you begin to pray, God, I want your agenda first, that he begins to show you needs around you, people around you who need your prayers, who need your love, who need you to step up and meet a need in their lives, because that's his heart. That's his heart. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And there's lost and broken people hurting all around us. So don't be surprised today as you begin to put this into practice that God begins to show you some needs. And we have an opportunity to do that tangibly today as we have an opportunity to sponsor these beautiful kids. And so let me just tell you this morning. You want to have your best year yet? You want to grow spiritually? You really want to embrace everything that God has for you. You want to get to this time next year and really be able to look back and say, I didn't waste this past year. God, I really got closer to you. God, I had a breakthrough in every important area of my life. I want to just encourage you this morning, and I want you to know this, developing a habit of prayer is the most important thing you could do. This is how you take ownership of your soul. You can come to church, and this is wonderful. This is an important part of your rhythm, and we can worship together, and we can teach you great messages, and you can come in and hear our amazing worship team. But if you really want to learn to take ownership of your soul, then at some point in time, you have to take responsibility for your spiritual growth. And nothing will help you do that like developing a habit of daily prayer. This is where you bring God into every area of your life. And so I want to make this real practical. I really want to encourage you. I want to challenge you this week. This week, every day, set aside 10 minutes, depending on where you're at, 5 minutes if you're brand new, 10 minutes if you've had a prayer life before, 15 minutes for some of you. Start praying through this pattern of the Lord's Prayer. Just begin acknowledging, you're my Father, you're with me today. God, what would I do today? How would I live today if I knew that I had a loving Heavenly Father on my side? Oh, come on, that would be a powerful prayer for some of you. How would I face this day today if I knew that no matter what I'm going to go through today, I have a loving Heavenly Father who's with me? How would it change your life if you begin to worship in your prayers, you begin to have gratitude, you begin to think about how big God is and how small your problems are, if you begin to come into agreement with His will, you begin to pray His kingdom into every area of your life? I'm going to tell you, it'll change your life. Try it this week. try it this week. And when you come back next week, I just want to know if it made an impact on your day. Come on, why don't you stand with me this morning? I want to pray for you. The worship team is going to come back. And this morning, here's our prayer. Here's the prayer. I want to invite you to pray along with me. And I'm praying this with you. It's the same prayer of the disciples. Because how many of you know we're disciples? If you're a Christian, if you consider yourself to be a Christian, you're a follower of Christ. And here's our prayer today. Lord, teach us to pray. Holy Spirit, teach us to pray, to have a relationship with you, God, to know you, to have this daily time where we connect with you relationally. Can we do that today? Let's just put this message into practice. Father, we thank you so much that you are a loving Heavenly Father. God, that you're with us. God, for those who didn't have a great relationship with their father, God, we thank you that you're the father we always wish we had. You're the one who created that longing on the inside of us, God. And you can be that father to us. And Lord, today we practice gratitude. God, we thank you for 1,000 little blessings that we took for granted before we even came here today, that we slept in warm beds, that we had a roof over our head, that we got in a car that worked, that we're going to eat food today. God, we're provided for the clothes on our back, for the health in our bodies today. So many things we have to be thankful for, God. And Lord, today we come into agreement with your kingdom, with your will. We say, may your kingdom come, your perfect rule and reign, your peace, your wholeness, your goodness into every area of our lives, God. May your kingdom come on earth, in my life, in my home, in my family, as it is in heaven. God, we choose your will first, God, your agenda, your will be done, God. Order our steps today, God. Father, I pray you give us strength as you teach us to pray in these coming days. Give us strength when we're weary. Father, when we don't feel like praying, pray you draw us to yourself, and may we never be the same. In Jesus' name, if you believe it, would you say amen?
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.